Everyone, welcome to the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. Today we have a special guest. He's an entrepreneur. He's a criminal justice major from Sonoma State, and he's currently a Starbucks store manager. So everyone, please welcome Angel Mendoza.
Thank you.
And in case you can't tell because they look exactly alike, Angel is Yvette's little brother. We're so excited to have you. I know this has been a long time coming, so we're just really excited that you're here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm very excited for this episode. I wanted everybody to meet my amazing little brother. I know we got blessed with a lot of different entrepreneurs in our family, and my parents have been one of the best examples to lead us ahead, and my little brother couldn't make me more proud.
That's really sweet. So, for those of you who might not know who you are, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and also about Valencia Apparel?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm Angel. I'm 24 years old. And like Myra said, I'm a store manager at Starbucks. I've been with the company for about almost 8 years. So it's kind of crazy to think that I've been that loyal to a company for that long and time has flown by. I'm also a criminal justice alumni of Sonoma State. I graduated in 2020, I believe it was. So it's been quite some time that I've been in school. But with that, I have been working on a clothing brand behind the scenes. It's been a journey with that as well. So I've been really working on diving into my passions and different things that I'm excited to do and that I have a love for, I guess. For me, I really don't like to limit myself. So I know I have so many different passions and I know there's room for everything. And with that kind of came Valencia Apparel. So it's been about a year since I had a launch, but it's a lot of work behind the scenes that it takes to start a business, of course, as you know, Yvette. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And with me being a store manager and also finishing school, I've juggled a lot. And so with that, I've been able to start Valencia Apparel. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. The first question that we like to start off all our interviews with is, what is a fear that you're currently struggling with today?
I guess it kind of ties into Valencia Apparel. Like I said, it's been a year since I had at least a launch or worked really close behind the scenes with it. For me, it's really like my fear of not being successful or maybe not making the right decision in the moment, I would say. I try to make things perfect and I try to make sure that like what I'm going to drop is exactly what I want it to be and how it's supposed to be in my head, but things don't always go that way. So for me, it's I guess that would be a fear of mine.
Like the fear of failure.
Yeah, definitely through the fear of failure or not doing it correctly, I guess. And maybe rejection, I would say, like fear of rejection or fear of failure, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something Yvette and I can relate on for sure. It's just being afraid of failing. And also, I think being such a perfectionist, like part of it, you want everything to be perfect. But I think more importantly, it's like the intentions behind it, right? Like if your intentions are good and as long as it's something that you're happy with, I don't think you really can fail because, especially with like something with clothes, I can see a shirt and think it's beautiful and then somebody else could think it's ugly. Like, right? It's all subjective. But I think as long as like you're happy with it and your passion can kind of come out in that form, then I think there's no way you really can fail, right? Because it's like you're making yourself proud, you're making that your family proud, and that's really the most important thing.
When I see Valencia Apparel, I see Angel. Not because I know all the work that goes behind it and behind everything that he's doing, like testing out material, looking at the quality, the design, everything that he has to go through. And it's a long journey because you have to go through different phases. And then also like the business side of it and having to run everything in the back end. It's a lot of work and I've seen him work his butt off. And I don't know how he does it because I know he works crazy shifts for work and he has to take over when people are sick and he has to be in charge of everything on top of work and on top of school, on top of home, on top of everything that he has to do. And it takes a lot of work. And I feel like this is his passion. This is what he likes to do. And I'm excited for what's to come.
Yeah, definitely. Just to add to that, I feel like it's also about, like I said, I'm a perfectionist. So for me, the reason behind me even doing it was really more so to, yes, it's my passion and clothing, but It's a kind of like a legacy to my mom, really. Like her last name is Valencia, and that's more so why I named it that. And it has a great ring to it too. I say I like our last name, but with that, I just really I want it to be perfect. I don't want it to be a failure. Like it's something that represents me and my family and everything that goes with it. It's very intentional. Like I have manufacturers that I was working with that are from Mexico, or I was working with a graphic designer that I hired from Guadalajara. A lot of the work behind it was intentional. So then when I guess things don't fall into place for me, I kind of feel like a frustration, or to where then I have like a writer's block or something. Like that's kind of like that, but
Creative, yeah,
in that industry, I would say.
like a, just like a creative block, I guess, in general, yeah. But I think the fact that you said that, you know, it's like a love letter to your mom, that's just really beautiful to me. I was also curious about why you named it Valencia Apparel. My mom's last name is Valencia too, right? So I love that last name. It is a beautiful last name. But I definitely think, you know, your obviously your heart and your intentions are there. And so that's why I'm like, I don't think it can fail. Like even, you know, and what is failure, right? Like what are we measuring it against? What's success, right? Because it's going to be different for everyone. But I think you
Because
are putting so much love and passion and, you know, your heart is in the right place. I just don't think it, there's any way it could fail. I'm sure it's going to be great.
think, yeah, that's so true, and I don't really think it in that sense as well, but hearing it that way makes me think about it differently too with failure, because it's really like, what are you measuring it against? And it can be subjective as much as it is people liking the clothing, so.
Exactly. Yeah, because it is so subjective to anyone and everyone, you know. A couple week episodes ago, I can't remember which one, we were talked about how, you know, oh, we only have like 180, you know, followers or something. And Yvette was like, but think about it this way, like if you had 180 people in one room, that's a lot of people, right? So it's like when you I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like just switching your perspective sometimes can make such a difference. And you're like, what am I'm fine. I'm not failing. Like we're fine.
Definitely.
I think it gets scary because sometimes we just think about our perspective, right? And we don't see it from the outside in. And it's like, how many people are you actually, what's your audience? Like, who are you targeting? And at the end of the day, if the purpose is whoever it is for, like, as long as she's happy, I think we won't ever fail. And as long as you're making her proud, which I'm sure you are, it just goes a long way. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, who your product is for and also who your audience is going to be. Because at the end of the day, if you only have 50 shirts, you don't have to have all of them sold. As long as 20 are going by, like, you know, your business has a purpose and you're going to get there.
Exactly. Yes, what Yvette said. So, for your first launch this past June was focused on apparel for Pride Month, which was a big success. What inspired you to make Pride the theme for your launch, and how do you see Valencia Apparel continuing to support causes like this in the future?
For myself, I originally wanted to start off with basics, and just kind of the vision behind it is I want to create clothing that I would wear and that I find interest in. Me being a plus size person or more bigger person, it's harder for me to find clothing that is the way I like it. I would say like with the visuals I like or the graphics I like, the creativity behind it, that still fits good and still is comfortable. And so that was more so where I was coming from behind it, and ensuring that I was offering like a big range of sizes as well. And with that, I wanted to create basics, and that was like the main vision behind it. And then as I had created some samples along the way before Pride and deciding to do that collection, but I found that it was going to be a lot more cost effective for me to do something smaller and do more of a lower production than I originally wanted to, because like I said, I'm a perfectionist and I wanted to be like great. I wanted it to sell out and whatnot. And so for me, that was kind of what was stopping me. And so then I thought through, well, I want to do something fun. I want to do something light and something that represents me too. And so I thought, I mean, Pride is great. And that's something that represents me. And I feel like that definitely it would be a good timing. It's around my birthday. And it would bring that good energy. And so that was my vision behind having a Pride collection. And I was looking for designers that also met my values. And so I found a designer in Guadalajara that I mentioned, and we were going back and forth, going through different designs that I'd like, and I wanted something like very minimal, simple, that you could still wear and it's not screaming, I'm gay or this is for Pride. And so I decided to do something very simple. It was a Pride flag with different blocks, different kind of pastel colors with like a hint of cream. And so it was very like basic, very basic. When I say basic, I mean like minimal, like minimalistic, and Still had a good visual of what I wanted to represent. And so we came on to a really good design that I really liked. From there, I was then able to find, I already had a partnership with my manufacturer that I really wanted to work with and made it all happen. They made the process very smooth for me and I was able to launch in June. And so I really worked out. I was able to spread the word and having like the support from my family and friends really helped and really helped bring my vision to life, I say.
Yeah, and I think, and you said, you wanted it to be fun. And when I think of the summer, that's exactly the word that I think of too, is fun. I love the summer and the weather's beautiful. The kids are out of school. We're all partying. There's no, bedtime. We gotta be in bed by this time, or at least not in my house. So I love that you also did it in June because it reflects the time, right? It's a fun time. And also you mentioned how you wanted it to include plus size, right? So that they could, feel comfortable in whatever they were wearing, which I think is great too, because we often have, I feel like we have enough marketing for, smaller people, individuals, and we don't have enough clothing or marketing for people that are plus size. And I mean, we're here, obviously, we need to wear clothes too. And why not have it be something that we feel comfortable in and we can feel confident in? So that I love that you said that.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say a lot of the time, like you see, like luxury brands or brands that work with more manufacturers that are considered luxury, and they market to smaller bodies or your average size, right? But my vision behind Valencia Apparel was also to make it a luxury to have for people who would still incorporate those people, right? Or my people, as I should say. So that was my vision behind it. I wanted a manufacturer that was willing to create good quality within that range. And that's also what kind of stopped me for a little bit because I would find someone, I'd get a sample, and then the sample was actually smaller than what they actually said it would be. And like my size didn't even fit me. So then that's where my frustrations were coming from. And then I finally found a manufacturer that I liked and then it worked out. But what then with that, and then I had a couple another stop because in the long run, I didn't realize like the shirts would shrink. And so then now I'm in the process of finding another manufacturer, maybe a different fabric that might work. But those are all different things that you go through as a small business, and then things become expensive, and it goes from there.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of trial and error, right?
Only, yeah.
And I also love that you did it in, like you said, Pride Month, and that was something that was important to you, because it is important for everyone, or I think it's important for everyone to feel seen and heard and loved. And so I love that you're, consciously thinking about everyone feeling included, right? And not just like a certain stereotype or a certain person to be included. And also that you want to make it like luxurious, because you're right. If you look at higher end brands, their sizes are a lot smaller. And so it is hard for us, plus size girlies or boys to find clothing that fit us properly. You are very busy, as Yvette said, being the store manager, entrepreneur, all of that. You're making time for your family and your friends. So how do you manage it all?
It's a lot of trial and error as well. There's times where you get burnt out, but I think it's really about giving yourself grace and a good balance between all the things you juggle. I also have a therapist who I see on a regular basis that gives me like at least a foundation of having a way to process like everything that I do and go through. And so that has really helped me kind of work with like regulating my emotions or balancing work and making sure, I set time for myself. And that was like the biggest thing that I found is that I always make time for everyone but myself, or I prioritize a lot of people before I prioritize me. And I've kind of shifted my mindset in that. And now I feel like my circle has, I used to be very like a friend's friend. Like I knew a lot of people, had a lot of mutuals. I cared a lot about like the quantity versus the quality of my friend groups. And as I got older, my friend group has stayed my core set of friend group or friends, I should say. And long-term friends who have had more quality relationships with versus the quantity and like having a room full of people instead of having a close knit of quality people who are always there for you through different things in life. So I think that's really helped me balance it all.
Yeah, we're big advocates for therapy over here, so we're glad that you mentioned it. My therapist too, I think it when things get overwhelming, she's always like, okay, let's sit down, let's look at what's happening, where can we make time during the week for, for Myra, or like a little bit of, downtime to de-stress. So therapists are lifesavers for sure in that department.
Yeah.
And also that you said, you've kind of learned to make your circle smaller, quality over quantity. That is really important. And I think that that's something that comes with age. I think you hear that more as like people get older. Not that you're old because you're very young, but as you get older, you do realize like I don't need to have 15 friends, right? If I just have like one really good friend, then I'm good.
Yeah, that's so true. I definitely learned that the hard way too. I feel like I've set boundaries, and as I grow older, and I don't let things fly as I used to. And I feel like in order for me to have my own like sense of peace too, I think, and respect for my friends, I feel that once you set boundaries with certain people who you may thought that you care more about them than they do about you, then you realize who your real friends are. And I think from those experiences, you start to embrace the people who maybe you weren't embracing as much. And so I think with age and I guess more experiences you get to, you learn that definitely. And my therapist, of course, helped me.
Yeah, no, but you're right. Like sometimes you have to realize there's like a Taylor Swift song. I don't remember the lyrics of it, but it's something along the lines like you can only put someone first if you're in their top five. Like it only works that way. So it's like, why are you prioritizing all these people who aren't prioritizing you? But once again, I think that that comes with age and maturity because when you're younger, you kind of think like, no, it's cool to have all of these friends and you're always doing something, you're moving around, but you are definitely a very friendly guy and you do have a lot of friends. I've seen like your Friendsgiving that you guys do, and I just think it's beautiful. It's so much fun. I've always wanted to do that, but I've never done one.
Thank you. We just recently did a big one. It was great. Well, I finally have like a well, I just moved out. It's been about a year now. Actually, it's not been just, but since I moved out,
More.
at least I know it's been over a year. It feels like yesterday, but having my own place and like being able to host, I love hosting. So when I do have the time, I'll definitely bring my friends over, and I like quality time like that, definitely.
Yeah. So, we don't get a lot of guys here, so we're so happy you're here. But I think a lot of the times for, men, it's a lot harder, especially, well, I don't want to say especially Latino men. I'm sure just men in general, but we're Latino, so we could speak for, our people. It can be really difficult to talk about their feelings or their emotions or even things that they're afraid of. Like if I ask my husband, "What are you afraid of?" He literally will say nothing, even though I know that man's afraid of heights. But his response will be like, nothing. I'm not afraid of anything, right?
Yeah.
And so how is that for you? Like, how do you feel comfortable talking about things like that? And if so, what do you think would help men feel more comfortable? Because like Yvette and I, like if when we have our, male guests, like what can we do to make them feel more comfortable to talk about those things?
I feel like for me, I've always been very comfortable with my emotions and like expressing that. So I don't know, I've always been around a lot of women too in my life, and so for me, I've always felt that vulnerability of being able to be open. I feel it in that space. But then I think about like my dad or people in my life who I may not be as open about their feelings or how they feel and things of that nature. I think it's maybe just giving them the space to, or acknowledging that, like acknowledging that that's something that is in our culture or is a part of a societal norm or gender norm, I guess. And so maybe acknowledging that and then giving them the space to know like it's okay to feel vulnerable and have those feelings. You need to like process how you feel in order for you to heal from that. So just creating space and being like vulnerable and honest about what's real in that setting.
Yeah, thank you. And what do you think like kind of helps you to process those emotions, or I don't know if you deal with any sort of like things that make you anxious or, nervous, things like that, or depression, anything. What kind of helps you to process those emotions or kind of get through them?
Well, now that I've been in therapy since I was like 17 or 18, I'd say. And that a lot of that was through things that I've experienced in the past. Like I've gone through a lot of anxiety and depression when I was younger. And so when I was in those settings, I mean, yeah, I did wasn't comfortable sharing that because you don't know how people react to what you say or experience or validate the way you feel. And so I was very young too, and you know, when you're younger, you feel things 100% more than you, what you may be in reality. And so, with that, having a therapist to kind of talk through those emotions, who doesn't know you, doesn't know your background, and can give you more of a non-biased opinion, and so that helped a lot. But I don't know, just really leaning on your friends. I feel like my closest friends that have witnessed or experienced me when I was in that mindset are still my two closest best friends. And so they've seen me through it all. And having those two people who I can express how I'm feeling and walk me through that, I think that really helped me, honestly, now that I reflect on it. Yeah, I feel like when it comes to family, I tend to like not express a lot of how I feel. I feel like I tend to be more like reserved and not really express if I'm like going through something, or I make it seem, I don't know, like it's easy, I guess. I don't know how I make it be perceived, but I feel like I go through a lot on my own. Like I don't like rely on somebody or like try to over explain, and I think that might be my own perception of things, like over explaining, but still, like I feel like that may be a reason why I also don't open as much to my family about how I feel. And I think I've leaned more on my friends for that. Well, I think it's more so I don't cause concern to my family. I think that's kind of where that comes from.
I think I have a question. I know that because you are like the youngest of the family or the siblings, and then we all have like this huge age gap. Do you feel like that influences it? Because I feel like as I grew older, it was hard for me to do like things because my close knit was like my family and everybody's older than me, right? So it's like everybody's drinking, having this party life. I'm over here like a 15-year-old, like, oh, you can't drink. Oh, you can't do this. Like, you can come to the family parties, but you can't go out to clubs and you can't go out and do this. So it was like really hard. I didn't have much more friends than my best friend, and people always had drama and like were really dramatic, and it was really hard to like grow up like that because I only had my best friend again and then my cousins, but a lot of my cousins ended up moving away, so we didn't have that close family anymore. And then everybody else, like I'm saying, is older. So when you came along, I feel like there was less and less and less kids, which is now like I feel like that's just residual and it's happening. So I feel like you happen to rely more on your friends because you had them more. Like for me, I had a lot of cousins, but they were all older than me, right? So the only person that I really did have was my best friend. But it's hard for you to really vent exactly to your family, but at the same time, because they're gonna want to protect you, I feel like a lot of the times that's our first instinct. Like, oh, we're gonna want to have your back. We want to be there, and so we'll listen to you. But I feel like they also carry some kind of resentment against whatever you're going through. Like if it's somebody, you know what I mean? Like I feel like that there's family dynamics where X and or A and B will be mad and fighting, and then so we'll be mad at B because of whatever happened, and then later on they're fine, and then we're still carrying that. I feel like that happens over a period of time, and I think that's why we also close off on sharing things sometimes.
Yeah, I think the our age gaps and our siblings, I think that, and just in family in general, because I think the only I only have one cousin, or I guess I have some cousins, but there's one cousin who I've always been like the closest to, and it's Angie. And for me, like, because she's the closest in age, and I think that actually plays a lot into it. A lot of my siblings, or all my siblings, are older than me, and so when I was going through what I was experiencing at the time, like between like 17 to 18 or whatever, 16, 18, you guys were already older, and so me and in that age dramatizing how maybe not necessarily always dramatizing it, but just kind of the way I was feeling and not being able not knowing how to approach it, because yeah, you guys are going to want to protect and want to do what, like be more of a protector, and then I just don't know how I would react to that, I guess. And so for me, I was more reliant on my friends for that. So
I understand.
yeah.
I feel like I did the same because it was hard. Like how do I tell my, and then there, like, I feel like as a girl, I was always treated differently. So like I was treated like, I feel like a lot of the times they not romanticize, how do you say it? Like they make you feel special because you're the only girl in the family, right? But then at the same time, they also want to overprotect you. So then it's like, how do you deal with this kind of stuff and like have a balance in your life? And I feel like my dad is a little bit more lenient. So my dad will let me do whatever. Like as long as my dad knew where who I was with, what I was doing, blah, blah, he'd let me go. But at the same time, like they also want to protect. Something goes wrong, they're the first ones there. And our brain is like, okay, if they're going to want to protect us, how do I tell them? So it's like, it's really hard to figure it out.
Yeah, no, I think about it too. When I was younger, I also wasn't so true with myself or like comfortable in my own skin or comfortable with who I was. And it was all kind of new, kind of coming out at like 15, 14, because I never really came out or anything. It was more so like it just kind of happened, or like I just kind of be, I was like restricting myself so much of who I really was. And so not knowing how to express that or explain that to my siblings. And that's also why I think I also really connected with Nene when I was younger, because he's gay too. And for me, that was an open space for me where I could be myself 100% with knowing I wasn't gonna be judged. And even though I knew you guys wouldn't judge me, but in that young age and mindset and not even knowing who I really was at the time, like I didn't know how to open up to all my other siblings. And so with Nana, I always had that connection, and so having that at a younger age kind of also gave me the space to really feel out who I was and like be like more who I am now. And now that I am older, like I am happy I dealt with that when I was younger, because now I'm like completely confident with who I am. Like no one can tell me that I'm not who I am or tell me how to act or how to express myself, and I'm like 100% confident with that. So I'd say at a younger age, I can see how that all kind of came into play with these.
Really interesting, because now that you're saying that, I'm thinking of like, do you think that had to do with any cultural expectations, or do you think like, I don't know, I know the family dynamics, I know we're a mix of Mexican American and we have all these different blends coming in, but at the same time, like the cultural expectations are still there. I feel like when Nene came out, my dad was so confused and lost his, sense, like what is going on. And I feel like a lot of that has to do with like the cultural macho mind, because he knew no other and he didn't have a father, so like he had to have he I don't know how he's done it, because honestly he's been the best dad without having a dad, which is the weirdest thing, because a lot of the times we lead by example, and when we don't have that, it's like, well, I don't know how he's done it honestly, but he's great. And I feel like it's really, I feel like when you like, once he went over that and he experienced it, he mellowed out a lot more. But at the same time, like the cultural like sayings and things are still there sometimes, like, oh, like criticar sin quererlo hacer, like unaware, I don't know how to explain it, like you're unaware, like I don't know how to explain it. He makes these jokes sometimes and I'm like, dad, that was not cool, or and he doesn't think it through and things like that. But other than that, he's like the biggest care bear and he's always going to be there for you and he's so selfless. So it's really interesting to see. But when we're little, we're so scared of their, like, maybe it's fear of failure. Maybe it's, like we always want to be up to their par or their standards. And I don't know. It's really interesting to see how now that we're all grown up, like, it's totally different. We can be ourselves. And I feel like all this that you've gone through has actually, like, really matured you. You're only 24. You've gone through, like, so much. And it's crazy to see, because I feel like you're just older than me sometimes when you talk to me. I'm like, wait, what? He really told me that? He's my little brother. But yeah,
No,
it's.
I feel like I always gone down that I'm like more mature for my age when I was younger. Like even when I was 16, I always wanted to get my car. I wanted to get my permit. My mom was like, "No, you're never getting your permit until you're 18. No one's ever done that. Like none of your siblings have. You're not getting a car. You're not getting a job." Like I literally forged my mom's signature for my first job, and I told her I'm gonna go work at Walmart. And then I worked there for a month. Okay, it did not work out. I didn't like it, but.
That's why you're always challenging my mom. I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, and then
But got it.
I got my license, my permit, and my license at 16, and I think it matured me, because I proved my parents that I wasn't doing it because I just wanted to like fuck around. It was because I was always a go-getter. Like at my school, I was the first person to get my car, to get my license, and I wanted to get a job. I started working when I was 17, and I've been with Starbucks since I was 17. So it goes to show, it all had a reason and worked out. And I mean, I ended up maturing, I think, a lot faster than other people my age, but I was able to achieve more with that and be kind of more ahead of where I thought I would be. And so Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also the mentality of just being the children of immigrants. I feel like everyone that we know or that we talk to that are, children of immigrants have this like mentality like we can't fail. We can't let our parents down. Like they risked everything for us, And so we kind of just like feel, and it's not, yeah, we just like feel that burden on our shoulders, And even I feel that sometimes too with like my husband because he immigrated into this country as well. And I'm like, él está echando ganas, like he was grew up poorer than poor. And, he came here, he didn't speak the language, he learned the language, he, became an entrepreneur, he's doing all these things. And I'm like, and I was given everything, like I have to do my part, right? Like I have to keep up.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, I hear that theme a lot with children of immigrants. So speaking of the Latino community, supporting the Latino community for you is a big part of your brand. What drives you to make that connection, and how important is it for you to create jobs and opportunities for, the Latino community?
Definitely, I think with my brand and my long-term vision is to have more employment for people in my community, so like Latinos, and I want my employees to connect with the value. Like I want people who work for me who understand what I envision and what I stand for. And so with that, like I wanted to hire a manufacturer that was in Latin America. Ideally, I wanted someone in Mexico. I just going through the ropes and really researching is what, that's my next endeavor that I really want to work in. And maybe whether that's like going to Mexico and actually going to visit different manufacturers, things like that, or the graphic designer being Mexican. Those are like I want people who come bring my vision to life to have part in that and have a connection to that. And so that will open doors for more people. And I mean, considering our climate right now, it's if not the best time to be proud to be Mexican and to share that and show pride in that. And not shy from it. So I think my brand definitely would represent that and will represent that. So.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. I agree. I think it's the perfect time to talk about how proud we are of where we come from. I always say, and I heard this from Chiquis Rivera, the singer. She always says, like, I'm 100% Mexican and I'm 100% American, and that's exactly how I feel. It's like I am just as proud to be an American as I am as proud to be a Mexican. Like I can't. It's not 50-50 for me. It's 100 and 100.
I love that.
Definitely.
I'm sorry, I was laughing because Angel calls me that sometimes.
Oh, he calls you cheekies? I'm
Like
like,
he's
what?
being.
I love that. I love that gorgeous swamp specimen of a woman.
Yes.
I'd love it if someone called me cheekies.
I know, but I'm like, are you making fun of my voice or are you really, really
Oh,
calling me
I like Chickies. I listen to her.
that? I know he loves her, but he's like, you should have cheeky sing whenever he wants me to sing. He's like, you should have cheeky sing. I'm like, oh my God, is that a compliment or are you making fun of me? But it's a sibling love.
No, I think it's a compliment. I love that. I love that woman. She's
I know, I love it too. I'm just saying because he makes me laugh.
freaking. So you do have a degree in criminal justice, as we talked about, from Sonoma State, and you're like, yeah, I graduated a long time ago. It was 2020. I graduated in 2008. That was a long time ago. Okay, 2020, that was yesterday. But so you do have a criminal justice major. Do you still see yourself maybe getting into the law field one day?
Not necessarily like law enforcement, but I recently, so at Starbucks, we have a connection, connects with our higher level, like district manager is my upper management. And we talk through like, what are you working on? And then this time around, we do this every 6 months. And so recently, I finally was kind of feeling a little like stuck at Starbucks. Like, what am I working towards? Like, this isn't my long-term goal. I'm not trying to be a store manager and more than any like more than 3 more years. And I really would like to use my degree. Like I worked hard for it, and I really want to make sure that that's something that is still part of my passion. And so I found that there's a lot of opportunity at Starbucks, so much opportunity that I didn't think of. And my next steps are to within my, in 5 years, I would love to work with our employee and asset protection team at Starbucks, and that would definitely help with utilizing my criminal justice degree. And So next steps, I'm working on becoming a district manager at Starbucks within a year or two, and then that will give me a stepping stone to the next level of becoming a employee in asset protection. I'd be like an analyst, essentially investigating and ensuring that there's the employees are safe when incidents occur, or if there's like a burglary at the store at a store location, I would have complete access to that and be the middle person between Starbucks and law enforcement, and be the one creating those reports, investigating, ensuring employee safety, and all of that. So I would love to utilize my degree. I initially did decide to go to do the criminal justice degree because of my family having like immigrant background, and I wanted to really support immigrants. And I would love to, in the long run, work and be more of like a direct line of support for immigrants, undocumented people who come into the United States or happen to be deported and were unlawfully deported, and helping support those cases. And I think that would be like a great passion of mine. A lot of those people don't necessarily get paid what they should be getting paid, and so this is where entrepreneurship comes into play. And I would love to be in a state where I have passive income, so then I can go and really work in those fields where people need the help, but don't have the people there to help them because of whatever reason, if it's pay or experience. And so that's something that I would love to do in the long run. And so in order for me to get there, I have these stepping stones that I'm working on right now.
I love that. That's beautiful that you really want to. You're just so, you can tell that you're really passionate about helping your community, and I love that. And we fully support that here. And like you said, it's a perfect way to utilize your criminal justice. I love that you're going to be utilizing it in what you're doing now, and that you have like this very clear goal of what you want to do. It just once again shows how mature you are. Because at 24, I didn't have that clarity, or that maturity. This is a question for me that I want to make it very clear because I'm just kidding. She said that she loves that you're so
Blame me, I'm
sweet,
just kidding.
but that you're very blunt. I haven't experienced that part of Angel. To me, he's always been very sweet and very kind. But being blunt is not necessarily a bad thing,
No.
right? You're honest, and that's fine. I think, the way it's more of how you say things than what you say. So how do you find balance between being kind and honest, especially in like really tough situations?
I think I used to not be this way at all. I used to be very anxious, and I always think about how someone's gonna react to what I tell them. And through a lot of therapy, I found like that's always gonna be there. And so it's really about like what you stand for, your values, and like not allowing people to overstep or not necessarily overstep, but like disrespect you and your boundaries. So I think for me, I've learned really how to set boundaries and for myself and that. And so I've learned not necessarily to be, I guess, yeah, being blunt, but it's just being honest and like how you feel. But it's like you said, how you say it, not what you're saying. And actually, I think a lot of this work and the way I guess, gained the skill of being blunt is a lot through Starbucks, because we do a lot of, as a store manager, there's going to be so many incidents or situations you have to experience with employees. I manage around like 20 to 25 employees. And so I have to hold people accountable, but I also have to ensure that they understand and learn from what I need them to be held accountable to. So, it's really being a people's leader has helped me. We do like employee situation-based like scenarios. We do a lot of like role playing. We do a lot of simulations with like AI avatars that help us like really know how to de-escalate a situation or how to address a situation. And this is work for me, so like I've gained a lot of good discipline for work. And when I do this, I never thought that this was actually helping me so much with my anxiety. And as I started reflecting more on that, I found that it's like helped me with in having like approaching confrontation or having a conversation and being vulnerable. And every conversation that's like an accountable conversation, or if you are just trying to, even if it's a friend and you need to tell them they did something that hurt you, like it's how you approach it and explain it to them that will get you out of that situation. So for me, it's really being vulnerable.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's an important skill to have, especially in the job that you're in. The only thing that I can kind of compare it to is when I was in high school, I was the captain on the dance team. And like I, you know, we used to have to keep, like, for example, on Fridays we had to wear our uniform. It was like spirit day or something. So every Friday we had to wear a dance uniform. If you were not wearing your dance uniform, we were supposed to, like, I don't know, write you up, or you'd have to sit out at the game and couldn't dance or something. I can't remember. And at me being the people pleaser that I am, had I had a really hard time enforcing those rules, right? And so I was not a very good captain. But I'm just saying, like, as a manager, like, you have to hold people accountable. If they mess up, you have to let them know, kindly and respectfully, that they're messing up. And so I think it's perfect for the field that you're in. It's a quality that you need to have. And it's definitely something that I'm working on, is being less of a people pleaser. So I'm trying to also be more blunt and say no when I need to say no, and not give an explanation, just say no.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's about like not over explaining and just setting the boundary. Like if you set a boundary with a friend and they continue to break it, that's on them. Like, I mean, I've learned this in the hard way because I've had friendships that I've continued to allow to do that to me or overstep or take advantage of me. Because I, like I said, I tend to prioritize people before me or used to. And so it ends up being kind of like I'm disrespecting myself if I allow that to happen. And that's where I started to disconnect from that and disengage.
Yeah.
I think that's how you got your quarterly spotlight of manager, right? Or something like that. The
Yeah.
manager quarterly spotlight. I was like, that's amazing. And I think when you have those boundaries and you can make that difference within your store or whatever it is, your environment that you're trying to build, I need to be there, but I'm not there yet. But I think that's what makes it hard for me sometimes, like with when I get calls like randomly on the weekends or when I'm like late night and I'm over there answering text messages. I'm like, this is a bad habit. I can't be doing this because I used to do that at work, and that's how I got burnout. So I need to like keep my boundaries. And you learn it the hard way, like you're saying. It's really hard, but you gotta do it. And I'm like, I just don't have that heart sometimes, and I'm like, oh my God, what if it's an emergency? Like, your brain is just like, it's so tricky. So trying to control that and be able to manage it on your own. And I was so proud when I saw Angel's face on the Starbucks social media. It's great.
Yeah, and that's exactly the quality that makes him a good manager, and it's gonna help him grow in that field, because he does have those boundaries established, and he, like you said, he respects himself. He understands that, if I don't hold myself accountable to these standards, then I'm really disrespecting myself. And I always say, like, if it was an emergency, they would call 911, right? Like, if it was an emergency, they would not call. If I was in an emergency situation, I would not be calling Yvette on a Sunday afternoon. I would be calling 911.
I mean, they can, but I mean, people think that that's how it works. Like, oh my God, my taxes are due in April, or my taxes are due tomorrow. I have an emergency. Can you please respond? Like, dude, you should have thought about this 10 years ago, or, not 10 years ago, but you should have thought of this beforehand. Like, why do we wait until the last minute until the IRS is knocking on the door? Like, come here. Like, hello, honey. Like, you had all these chances. They send you letters every quarter. Come on, guys, get it together. We don't need to knock on the door.
Yes. So what do you do, Angel, to recharge, or when you're feeling just drained and like life's too hectic at the moment?
I tend to like unplug and disconnect. I try to make sure I don't have to get to that point because there's like recently I had a like in December I had so much going on at work that I like broke down with my manager. I'm like, I just need a break. Like I can't do this. Like I need 2 days, and I took my 2 days off. But that was kind of like worst case scenario because I just wasn't giving myself that break. So now that I've gone through that and I have set more time for myself. At least I like to make sure I have a 3 day weekend once a month, or have at least like a vacation or something small planned, like every 3 months, to where I can know I have time set aside for myself. Recently, I'm getting back into like hobbies that I like. I really want to like learn how to play guitar. I want to, I'm joining a cycling class at Rice Cycle. It's a studio. It's really fun. It's nice. And so I think just having that set up for myself will like helps me kind of like know that I have a routine set, I have time set aside to like decompress. And walking my dog on like every day, I have my dog Astro, who is crazy, a lot of energy, and so him also helps me like decompress and recharge.
I love that. We're big on self-care here, so anything that you could do to show yourself some love is a good thing, in my opinion. So, any big dreams or projects in the pipeline, anything we should be looking out for, or anything exciting that's going to be happening?
Well, currently I'm still working on Valencia Apparel, so I'm hoping to really relaunch that with more intention and ensure that it's more of a consistent experience for consumers and myself. And so that should be coming out soon. I'm just working on myself, and I feel like it's kind of like a slow and steady race for what I'm working towards. Like I said, I want to continue to work with Starbucks and be an employee in asset protection, work in that team of asset protection. So that's like a 5-year goal. I really would like to buy a home within the next few years and just start to build assets and more passive income and hopefully retire at like 30 and have like just like the life set, hopefully.
That'd be
That's
great.
great. Yeah. I'm trying to retire by 40, and no, I'm just kidding. It's not going so well, so. So the last two questions that we like to end our interviews is, what is the worst advice that you've ever received, and what is the best advice that you've ever received?
I would say the best advice that I've received, I'll start with that, is don't live your life based on your emotions. I feel like a lot of the time, you tend to do things based on how you're feeling. And for me, I've learned that I need to build discipline so that I can still attain and do everything I aspire to do, even on days where I don't feel like doing it, on days where I feel sad or I feel tired or feel lazy, and still build that discipline to go and do it because no one else is going to do it for you. So I think that was like the best advice that I've actually recently gotten. The worst advice, probably going to a rave until like 3 in the morning because I don't like to stay up that late. I don't have like a lot of like the, I guess, the worst advice. I haven't really reflected on that as much, but
That's okay. We don't need to dwell on worst advice. Yes.
try to don't stay out too late.
Oh, don't stay out too late then. Yes. And I like your best advice. I actually feel like we don't, like a lot of people don't talk about enough about that, but that's something that I really try to live by as well. I heard that advice a long time ago on the Jay Shetty podcast. He talked about it one time, how, we don't want to make permanent decisions on temporary emotions. And that really changed the way I saw things, because you're right, like our emotions can change from one, I could be happy one minute and sad the next, and vice versa. So it's like, I don't want to be making, permanent decisions on how I'm feeling. I really do try to, kind of give myself some time to process things and check in with myself before I make any kind of decision. Like, for example, if I'm really mad at someone, my first initial reaction would be like, I'm going to cut them out of my life. I'm never going to talk to them again, and I'm going to write them this really mean text, F you. But then it's like, I know I'm going to regret that. So I just try to be like, no, Myra, like, you're really mad right now. It's okay. Like, let's just sit with this anger for a little bit, and then let's process it for a few days. It's gonna be fine, and then I'm over it. So.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually is one I've also heard a long time ago, and that's stayed with me for so long. It resonates with the one I said because, yeah, you never want to make big decisions on temporary feelings. You never know how you're gonna feel in the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So lastly, where can people find you and follow along your journey with Valencia Apparel?
I have an Instagram. It's Valencia X Apparel, and then there's my personal Instagram, which is Angel Alexander.
Okay, we will link all of those down below in the description so everyone can find you if they want to follow along your journey with Valencia Apparel, which I'm sure they'd be crazy not to, right? So thank you so much for having you. It was so nice to have you on. You're just such a light and such an inspiration. And I'm so proud of you. I know your family is so proud of you. And as a mom, I could tell you there's absolutely nothing that you could do to make us not be proud of you. So your mom must be the most proud. I'm sure she is, just by the legacy that you're leaving and the human being that you are. And knowing that you're happy and you're healthy and you're doing something that you love and putting out a lot of love into this world. So thank you just for being here and for existing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming on, and we hope to see you again soon, if it's not in the near future, and we can't wait to see how big your business grows. And everybody else, thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this interview. If you have any questions, drop them down below. And if not, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.